Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 68. Thank you for joining me. So it's still February, and last week I mentioned that it's Love Month, and if you love the podcast, you could pop into iTunes and leave a review. And someone did, so I thought a couple of people did. Thank you. So I thought I'd read one of them to give you all a little bit of inspiration to pop in there. I don't ask for reviews often, but just like Google and Yelp for your coworking business, iTunes really loves reviews as a way to tell what content is good and useful. And so more people can find the podcast if you leave reviews. So this was left by DYLMAG. Thank you, whoever you are, who said, I had so many questions about opening a space and was directed to listen to Jamie's podcast series. It was so helpful and well done that I binge listened to over 40 podcasts in one long weekend. This is a must if you're considering opening a co-working space. So I'm sort of picturing someone binge listening, walking the dog, doing the dishes, driving around, listening to 40 of these podcasts. That's a pretty serious undertaking, but I'm glad that they were useful. And thank you so much for the review. I really appreciate it. And one more thing before we get started, as I've mentioned a few times, I'm kicking off a new program in 2018 that I'm really excited about and really excited about the folks that have joined so far. It's called Coworking Startup School. It expands on the flight group concept that I started this year that's gone really well. So it's for anyone starting a co-working space, and the program will kick off by making sure you have a sound business model and you know that you're on the right track. And then it will get you grounded in what you need to know to start a space, and then we'll get you into a flight group for ongoing peer and expert support. So if you'd like to learn more about the format and content and how it works, visit www.coworkingstartupschool.com. So speaking of the flight groups, today's content's a little bit different. I have a guest again next week, but today is just me, because I thought this was a really good topic to talk about on the podcast. In a recent flight group, one of our members came with her weekly topic, which was, how do I know if I'm spending my time the right way? So she was a full-time graphic designer, worked for a company, and she left to start her own co-working space. Now she's also doing freelance work. So she owns a brick and mortar business and she's a service provider, both two totally new undertakings. So she's kind of in an uncharted world for her, and she's trying to figure out how to best spend her time. So she said, you know, she finds she's got clients who are demanding things at, you know, under certain deadlines, and so she's managing that just fine, but sort of struggling with switching between freelance work, co-working work, and trying to figure out kind of how to manage her day and how to make sure she does the things that don't have deadlines, the things she has to assign to herself. And so I thought, you know, this probably happens to a lot of us, and I know I personally struggle with this all the time. And I know that sort of the term time management is not very in vogue anymore, but sort of how do you make sure you're doing the right things and getting enough done every day? And for me, it's always the right things because there's so much to do. So I thought I would just kind of cover this topic a little bit and share what I've learned in my journey with trying to make sure I'm spending my time the right way and doing the right things. Let's see. So we'll start with, you can read books about time management, of course. If there are tools that, you know, are interesting to you or that work for you, I think there are lots of books about sort of how to manage your day and how to prioritize things. And those can certainly be useful. I mentioned on episode number 63, which was my top five book recommendations from 2017, the book Essentialism, which I will mention again, by author Greg McKeown. And I'll put these notes in the show notes under everythingcoworking.com/68. And, you know, his book is really about doing less. You need to figure out what are the things that are most important in your life, and you do those, and you have to cut out a lot of things and say no to a lot of things, and that is not easy. I will give you an example from this week. If anybody has kids, you could probably relate to the fact that they have all sorts of crazy things that they come home that the teachers want you to do with your kids. So this week I had a board meeting out of town, and it's the 100th day of school, and it's also Valentine's Day next week. I have a six-year-old. You would think that getting a six-year-old to fill out 24 Valentines is not that hard. Well, it is harder than you would think. So I spend my evenings and my morning trying to get her to write kids' names and their little post office box numbers on their envelopes. And then the other thing we were supposed to do is put 100 of something on a something and send it to school. So one mom ironed on 100 hearts under a kid's sweatshirt. You could, 100 of anything in a jar, whatever. Well, I decided not to do it, which I'm sure did not make me a very popular mom. But I I'm not perfect at practicing essentialism, but I look at things and I say, look, you know, there's a lot of things that need to get done. I could stay up late and sort of ruin my sleep and make my day terrible the next day because I'm doing this thing that my kid's school wants me to do. But at some point you just have to say, no, we're not going to do that. So we did not do the 100 items of something. And I'm pretty sure my kid is not totally worse off for that. So that's a really, really, really minor micro example, but I mean, even bigger things like projects at work. So, I mean, sometimes you just have to say they don't fit in. And I think the hard thing that I struggle with is I'm the person who thinks everything that takes hours takes 5 minutes. So I think I can do that, I can totally fit that in. And I say yes to a lot of things because I want to say yes. And I get really excited about all the opportunities that come my way and want to do those things. So I have a business coach, and this is one of the things we work on. And every time we work on it, I say, well, I kind of feel like an idiot. Like, I'm a really smart person. I have an MBA from the University of Chicago, and I'm spending time with my business coach trying to figure out how to manage my time. This should be the least of my worries. And he says, no, I am not alone, that lots and lots of people struggle with this. And this is one of the things he spends a lot of time with business owners. So I think that's an important thing. No, you're not alone. So his advice is to time block. So block out sections of your week to work on specific projects. So you need to know what those top priorities are. Make sure you have your list of key projects, and then you need to put them in your calendar. He's definitely in the camp of if it's not in your calendar, it is not going to get done. And the reason I agree that this is so important is because if your calendar isn't blocked out, then it looks open and you think you can say yes, or you think you can sit in your email for 6 hours a day and you never get to the things that you want to get to, and you sort of wonder why, and you keep saying yes to more meetings and yes to more projects, and you just sort of in your brain think you can figure out a way to make it all fit. And in the real life world of your calendar and the number of hours in a day, it doesn't fit. So this is something I've been working on, is really blocking out my calendar. So it forces me to say no. And I've had to do that. And I sort of feel silly sometimes when I tell someone, you know, here's a link to my calendar. It's booked for 2 weeks. But sometimes it is booked for 2 weeks because I'm working on important projects and I already have meetings. And I, you know, so I can't get those projects done if I keep taking new meetings. So you have to get comfortable with protecting your time. And I think that as an entrepreneur, we have 100% ownership over our calendar. I do like to read a lot about sort of how to, I hate all those buzzwords. I'm not going to use them. Sometimes I'll try to talk to my husband about, you know, how to, him saying no more at work. And he always makes the point that it's not really in his control. He can manage a little bit. He can block out certain times, but he lives in such a meeting culture that he really can't do that. But we can. And sometimes I feel sort of guilty over taking so much control of my calendar because I see that, you know, he cannot. And part of me still lives in that world of thinking I need to conform to that, but we don't. We have full control over how we spend our time, how much it takes us to do things, how many meetings we say yes to. We have a lot of freedom in that sense. So remember that. Back to the time blocking. So block out the time and know when you can fit things in and know when your calendar is completely full, and start saying no to people or telling people, look, you know, I'm in projects and meetings through, you know, the end of the month. So it's going to be a while before I can get to that, and just be honest about it and set people's expectations. So related to time blocking, the other thing my coach suggests, which I still struggle to do and was kind of mind blowing when he first said it to me, is that you should commit 1 to 2 hours a week to scheduling. So he's like, you know, managing your calendar and making sure you have time allocated to the right things and that you're really clear on your priorities is important enough that you need to give it time. And it's weird to think about, I mean, we're so protective of the hours in our day, you know, giving up 2 hours a week to actually spend it planning for your week ahead and scheduling it. So he swears by it and I try to do it. So his suggestion is to do it, you know, Friday when you're sort of wrapping things up and looking at the week ahead. And by Friday, you know what you did and did not get done. And so you have to adjust your calendar and your plans for the week ahead, or do it on Sunday if you don't want to do it on Friday and you're more of a Sunday get prep for the week. But make sure you block out time to do that. Because if you go into the week and it's not clear what you're prioritizing and what you're working on, then you're not going to get the things done that you want to get done. And another important piece to this is it takes practice to learn how long it takes to do things. So my coach, whose name is Casey, he said, look, I think you need to force yourself to assume it takes twice as long as you think it will to do anything. I can tell you're super optimistic and you never plan enough time for anything. And the reality is this stuff just takes time to do. You want it to go faster. I get it. That's how most entrepreneurs are. But you need to be realistic in order to make this system work. So that's hard for me still, but I think that's something we probably all need to learn from is, you know, schedule and learn how long things actually take to get done, because usually it's a lot longer than we think it'll take. And the other thing that sparked this podcast is I was in the airport. I was traveling for work this week at a GWA Global Workspace Association board meeting out of town. And I was in the airport looking at the books, which I feel bad I never intended to buy because I was just going to download it to my Kindle. But I saw a new Daniel Pink book and I love him. I love to read. I don't have as much time to read actual books as I'd like to, except when I'm on planes. I listen to a lot of audiobooks and podcasts, but I love books like Daniel Pink, Malcolm Gladwell, people who are trying to make sense of the world and often through data. I'm kind of a data person. You know, I have an MBA from the University of Chicago, and you just get super brainwashed around kind of starting with data and then moving into the art of things once you're done with the data. But you start with the data. So his new book is called, I need to pull it up, I just had it up here. It is called When: The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. And I only just started reading the book, but I thought it was really interesting because the first part of the book talks about the fact that we each have a chronotype and that there is really an ideal time of day for us to be doing our work. So read the book. I won't get into super detail. I'll put a link to the book in the show notes. But basically, people fall into three categories. You're either a lark, which means you're a super early bird, and only like less than 20% of people are truly early birds. I actually fall into that category. He gives you a little test to do to figure it out. And then third birds are most people. It's kind of like a bell curve. You know, most people fall into the third bird, which is not super early, but generally most productive at the beginning of the day, and then night owls. And if you are listening and you're a night owl, he definitely acknowledges that, you know, there are some challenges here, especially if you're running a business, because, well, if you're anyone, if you're working for corporate America or running a business, because most of the world is a third bird and most productive, you know, sort of later in the morning, and you're running on a totally different clock. And so it's a struggle for you to sort of match your productivity and sort of best times of day to everyone else's. So this was really important to me, I think, as a business owner, because you do have time, you do have the ability to control your calendar to learn where you fall and when you should be doing your work. So it's a lark. I mean, I fall into the like really, really early bird category. So he basically talks about the fact that you have a peak, a trough, and a rebound during the day. So there are a section of day where you're sort of running at your best, and then you sort of have this trough. So for the third bird, which is most people, you know, they sort of start picking up steam in the morning, and then at lunchtime, they hit a trough from like noon to one-ish until about 3 p.m. And then they start rebounding in the early evening and into the nighttime, which I thought was pretty interesting that there's data around that. I mean, people talk about sort of that afternoon lull, and a lot of people go, you know, get coffee at 2 or 3 to sort of get them through the rest of the day. But there's data around that. Like, that's really how we physically work. So, I mean, a couple of things here that struck me about sort of managing that is, so he recommends, you know, you do your most sort of important work during your peak times. Although he does say, interestingly, you gotta read the book because it's probably too much to go into on the podcast, but there is some work, like sort of more abstract problem solving, or like when you're sort of trying to think of something that might be sort of beyond your conscience, that can be done in your trough times. So he gave the example of Edison who discovered the light bulb and he was trying to figure out the filament. Like, I don't know. Somehow they think that he sort of figured that out in a time that was not peak thinking, that that's the kind of problem that sort of comes to you during your fuzzier times, you know, but for other things like focus work, creativity, you want to do that when you're at your best. So you, for me, I need to be doing that first thing in the morning, which is a challenge when you have a 6-year-old who you have to get ready and get out the door and doesn't start school until 8:30. Because I often like to get up really early, like, you know, I'll start work between 5 and 6 and start moving on things. And I actually, interestingly, he talks about the best time of day to work out. So if you, for those of you that know me, I'm a very avid, passionate CrossFitter. And so I work out, I do CrossFit 5 times a day, and then I do other stuff on the other 2 days. But I used to be a big, I only would work out in the morning, first thing in the morning, because I wanted, you know, super committed to it, and I wanted to make sure that I got it done. And recently, I've started shifting to doing my workout later in the afternoon, which after reading his book, I kind of realized might be good for me, because I work better in the morning, and my trough is, you know, sort of early afternoon, and then I kind of get my energy back, so... It's kind of a weird time of day to work out, but it actually works with my chronotype. So if you are running your space yourself, and the woman in my flight group, this is her case. So she's you know, wearing all the hats. She's the community manager, plus she's doing freelance work. You know, think about your chronotype and when you can get work done, because the struggle you're going to have is you're going to have a lot of interruptions. So if there's some way you can structure your morning to get to the space and get the things that, you know, done that are in the project that you've blocked out for that morning, since you're on your blocking out commitment, then you want to do those things earlier in the day and spend your time with your members later in the day, which is probably the opposite of what feels intuitive and natural. And I'm not saying, you know, you can go hide and not greet anybody who comes in the morning, but you might want to be upfront with your members. Hey, look, I'm going to make sure, you know, everything's ready for coffee and everybody else is on their way. But most of us are most productive in the morning. So I think that's going to be the culture here. We're just going to kick it into gear, get rolling, and let's have, you know, our coffee talk later in the afternoon. So, you know, if you're not running your space, then you have more freedom to manage that. But if you are running your space, you might want to think about, like, how do you hide out a little bit in the morning to get some of those things done? And then a couple of other ideas. There are time trackers that you can use, and I can't think of the names of them right now, but if you Google them, you basically can set them up on your browser so that you can either manually enter what you're working on, or it will tell you what you're working on, whether you're, you know, in PowerPoint or email or social media, so that if you're having a hard time, if you're one that easily gets distracted, I think those can be good to use for a while until you sort of snap yourself out of that habit of spending an hour on Facebook after lunch, which I'm guessing most entrepreneurs don't, because we have too many things to do. But if that's happening to you, which Facebook's a black hole, I totally get it, then try one of those. And then, you know, a couple of other things. So one of the women in the flight group, so the format of our flight group is everybody kind of submits their topic and we facilitate, and everybody gets a little hot seat time. And then the other members of the group talk about how they might approach it or how they have approached it and give some advice. And then I chip in, you know, where I need to. So one of the other members said they do power hours in their space. So she said she often does this when she needs to get things done. But she said it's also a great way if you have kind of a chatty group, and especially in smaller spaces where it's hard to kind of spread people out and the chattiness might sort of overtake the space. She said she'll schedule, you know, 2 a day, 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon. She'll put it on the whiteboard. She'll let everybody know. And the format she uses is she'll tell everybody that power hour is coming up. You go up to the whiteboard, you write, you know, the couple of things you're going to get done in that hour. And then at the end, when the bell goes off, if you got those things done, you get to get up and cross them off and kind of do a little cheer. So you should, it's a great way to sort of force people, you know, force yourself to work on what you're supposed to work on. And there's that accountability factor and also the ability to celebrate when you're done. So I thought that was a fun idea to sort of work productivity into the co-working culture. You know, and then one of the other things is email. So I have trouble keeping up with my email, but sometimes I feel a little bit okay with that because email is so much to manage and I have so much inbound email. And, you know, I can't remember if it's Essentialism or another book. It's probably Essentialism. He points out that email is the agenda of the person sending it, right? Unless you're waiting on a response to a question that you had for someone. Although in that case, you know, call. use the phone. If you have something really important you want to get done with someone, you know, get them on the phone. You know, many times email is someone demanding that you drop what you're doing and answer something for them because that's what they're working on that day. And obviously, if you're part of a team or you're working in a group in some way, you need to play your part to move things forward. But remember that people are trying to sort of steal your time by getting into your email inbox, and you don't have to respond to them, you know. And if you feel like you owe people a response and you can't get to, you want to set an expectation, put one of those autoresponders in your email that says, look, I'm working on something important and I'm not going to be able to respond to email this weekend. If you need something urgently, then you need to call me. That way, you know, you're really forcing people to think about how badly they need something from you. So email is always kind of something that I struggle a lot with. But I think, you know, overall, the response to the question that came up on the flight group was like, look, we all struggle with this and it's hard. But as a business owner, it's critical. I mean, when you work for a company, you know, your priorities are pretty clear and you have to meet with someone every week to talk about them. And if you're not getting things done, it's going to be really clear really fast and you're going to be in trouble. So there are just a lot of explicit sort of drivers to help you manage your work the right way. And when you're an entrepreneur, there's not. So I think it's something we all struggle with, and something just, you know, be patient with yourself and know that you're going to have to work on and practice, but be consistent with your efforts and, you know, keep at it and do your best to just keep at it. You know, I think don't be so hard on yourself. So know that you're not alone. It's harder when you're an entrepreneur. Do your best, be consistent, try to plan, try to force yourself into that routine of giving yourself time to schedule and time blocking, saying no a little bit more, doing some more power hours, and evaluating how you're doing, and just keep at it, stay consistent, and keep trying your best. And if you need an accountability group, find one with your members, find a business coach, find a flight group, find whatever works for you. So I'll leave you with that, and we'll see you next week for another special guest on the podcast.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.